Just in passing, today we launch a little exercise in sanctity of God's house. Oh, worship the Lord, and the beauty of holiness is on this wall behind me. We see it every week. May not this familiarity breed contempt. But let us understand the sanctity extends beyond the four walls of this sanctuary, through all the floors, but in particular, we have identified level 2, that is where we are, and ground floor. As you entered the house of God this morning, you would have seen all the notices in two languages to proclaim that we are in the vicinity, in the very neighborhood adjoining the holy place. And therefore, our sanctity begins right there. People ask me, are we not supposed to speak now? I say, not at all. Speak. Greet each other as usual. Be friendly. How can we all be dumb and stare at each other and say, no, that is sanctity. That is not. That is stupidity. Our dear friends, but little children who play catching, racing around the block, screaming at the top of their voices, and parents feel nothing. I don't blame parents. I suppose if I were a parent, that will be what I do. Please then observe an encouraging, smiling word will help all these young people, children, to know that on the Lord's Day, only today, we don't enforce this every day. Come on other days and you hear the kindergarten children screaming, playing. Of course, children are children. So that is all I need to say. Please, prayerfully, let us develop this extended respect for God's house. Amen. Thank you for your attention. Now back to the text of this morning's message. God is so good to us to allow us to meet here and to consider without compulsion, without tension, the Word of God. And today's topic is the preaching of Christ brings joy. Does it ring a bell in your hearts? When you hear the gospel being preached, does it stir you up? And the writer of this letter is none other than the Apostle Paul. And the book to the Philippians is one of the three prison epistles written from prison. Can you imagine Paul writing to those not in custody or confined to a prison cell, that he rejoices whenever the gospel is preached? So I suggest to you, we too, we who have total freedom, let us pray God to forgive us where we neglect the preaching of the gospel, to encourage those who do, and to go forth ourselves to spread the word of God, the gospel, the only message for a dying and troubled world today, the only. Nothing else can meet our needs. With that, let's read through again, and I'll lead you. Philippians 1, and we're going to begin from verse 12. So we have 7 verses. Paul says here in verse 12 of chapter 1 of Philippians, I would ye should understand, brethren. Who is he addressing? The believers in the first church he ever founded in Europe. Where was it? Philippi, the capital of Macedonia in that time. So he writes from personal experience to the members of the church he had founded. You recall how that church was founded? Paul did not know where to go, north, south, east, west, until that night. God sent a vision. Now today we do not get visions. Don't be disappointed. For our God has a place and a purpose and a timing for every event. For Paul on that particular day and place, it was a vision. And we do not read of more visions. Only ones. And that vision showed a man of Macedonia, and he went across, crossing the straits to Europe. And there began the first ever church he founded on European soil. Are you excited? Oh, dear friends, we have reached out to so many areas. And I say the only way you can appreciate fully is to go. Of course, not all of us can go, but seize the opportunity when you can. Go to North Thailand, go to Philippines. I am so glad when we went there in February. I had a team, a small team, 3-4 people. And we saw the work. It stirs you up that the gospel of Jesus Christ is spread because of you, because of me. So, verse 12. Paul says, I would ye should understand, brethren, the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. At first sight, and just thinking at first hand, how sad it is. Paul goes to prison. What will happen to the preaching of the gospel? Now Paul says, I want you to understand, it really has not retarded but promoted the spreading of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. My coming here to Rome. What is Rome? Capital of the Roman Empire at that time. Still is. Rome, the eternal city. And there he was. Incidentally, the prison cell was in the palace complex. So right there in the palace complex, there was a cell, a prison house, which kept this Apostle Paul. Now you get the context. It's very important to understand the context in which it is written. So he's writing out of the prison from Rome to the church in Philippi. Remember who were the people? The first members, Lydia, the seller of purple. And she believed, then because of the events that happened, Paul and Silas were put into prison. But the Lord came. Remember the earthquake and how the whole prison shook. And the prisoners were loosed. And the keeper came out and thought he should commit suicide. What to do? All the prisoners are loose. I must end my own life because the punishment for keeper of the prison who lets the prisoners go is his life. He pays with his life. Then Paul comes to his help, say, stop it. We have not run away. Don't be afraid. And then out of that encounter, the whole family, the household, came to believe, and that would have been a nucleus of the church in Philippi. Right, you get it? And over the years, by God's grace, it has grown. Now, Paul writes to them, I wouldn't have you understand that the things which happened to me, I'm still on verse 12, have fallen out rather under the furtherance of the gospel. So, cheer up. My being imprisoned has not retarded the gospel in any way. In fact, it has promoted the gospel. How amazing. God can use adverse circumstances to fulfill His own plan and purpose. That even in the midst of this setback for Paul, God was doing something most wonderful. Read on, please, verse 13. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places that people are talking about this funny man called Paul. He was not an impressive person, personality-wise. Not attractive, but reputation-wise. First class. They soon knew, and you know, news spreads very fast. This man is here for no crime of his own. All because he is preaching a man called Jesus Christ. And who has helped him and blessed his ministry in so many ways. And this is the man whom we are guarding, who was saying all this. The palace guard, the soldiers who were given the assignment to look after this prisoner and not let him escape. Paul would have been a very model prisoner. Don't worry, I would not want to escape anyway. But from the context, they all were impressed. And so the name of Jesus Christ was uplifted even because Paul was in prison in Rome. Verse 14. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ out of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Verse 16. And the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other preached Christ out of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. So there were two groups. By the way, there was already a church in Rome. You remember during Pentecost, they came back to Jerusalem. And 3,000 were saved, the first one sermon that Peter preached. Now where do they go after Pentecost? Go home. Some go back to Rome. And there was a church. So that when Paul arrived there in prison, there were Christians outside already. And some of them were not his friends and thought if they preach and draw attention to the gospel, it might in some way harm Paul. But those others preach out of goodwill. Verse 18. What then? What shall we do? Paul says, notwithstanding every way, whether they preach Christ in pretense, and Christ is preached, or they are genuinely in truth preaching the gospel to spread the news of Jesus saves. I'm happy whether this or that, doesn't matter. They won't hurt me because God is my defense. So what does he say? Therefore I rejoice. The ending of this verse is amazing. You know, this epistle of Philippians, the whole tenor and tone of the whole letter is one of joy. You cannot believe it. A man in captivity, possibly facing death in death cell, death row. And yet in every page and every chapter, every verse, full of the joy of salvation, because every day he knows, for to me to live is Christ. That's what he says in verse 21. Isn't that a good verse? And to die is gain. They want to kill me? Okay, go ahead. For absent from this body, if they should behead me, chop it off. So what? I'll be present with the Lord. Immediately, all my worldly worries, my need to have 3 meals a day, my need to have a place of rest and sleep, my need to have clothing, all these mundane things, over. How good, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I say this is what all of us must bear as our objective. Can you? Difficult, but not impossible. Paul sets us the example. For to me to live is Christ. Even though I am in a prison cell, my first concern is not about my safety, not about my release. Will somebody come and release me from prison, speak a word to Caesar and say, this man is a good man, let him go? No, he's not concerned about that. How are we? How about us? Are we concerned for the gospel to that extent that only Jesus? The preaching of Jesus Christ is the most important thing to him. So that he says, whether in death or in life, that I may magnify the name of the Lord at all times. This is an amazing testimony. So this is how we enter into today's message. What is the message? Rejoice because Christ is preached. Today there are churches and churches where Christ is only a fictitious name, where the pastors do not know Christ at all. And what do you think of the members? You go to the country of Australia, how sad. Men and women grow up as children into adulthood who never heard of who Jesus Christ is except in the cinema. Jesus Christ, superstar, that's all they know. Do you know that? It is amazing. They do not know who Jesus is. So that's why Paul is so concerned and so happy that even his imprisonment caused the people to talk about it and to preach about Jesus Christ. Oh, dear friends, what is your value system? Why do you rejoice? Why do we rejoice? We must learn to rise above the ordinary to the extraordinary. From the worldly to the superworldly, to the spiritual realm. What do you rejoice about? If you get engaged to the right person, wonderful. Now, next step is marriage. Wonderful, is that a good thing? Of course. Marriage in the Lord, rejoice. And they're living together to build a house on the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. And live together as a family. You rejoice every day. Do you? I pray that in this church, we will all have the right values. What are your core values? Core meaning heart values. In the deepest desires and heart feeling, what is it you rejoice most? I say it is good to have a good marriage and go on, but one day it will also end. So the bottom line of what we are talking about today is our happiness and rejoicing on earth will end one day. And only those who have a hope and an expectation beyond earth can truly rejoice. Understand that? So here we are talking about Paul in the prison. I have a chorus here I want to share with you so that we will, other than hearing me preach, God will speak to you. This chorus is well known to us. Save and heal me, sanctify me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. Is He your hope? Is He your joy? Be a Paul in that sense. Learn from Him. In prison, which of us will be thinking of how is the gospel getting on in my church? No. It is not natural. All of us are so natural. We're thinking of how to get out of this prison. Only Jesus. Iron bars cannot make a prison for you. If you have the Lord, wherever you go, you have the best. Let's hear the music. And this is, if our dear friends in the extended new sanctuary, in case you can't see the thing projected there, it is in Revival Hymnal 494. If you cannot see, you need to open the hymnal 494. Let's hear the music and we all sing it. Only Jesus, always Jesus, my heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Save and heal me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. Only Jesus, always Jesus, my heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Save and heal me, sanctify me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. I always remember this song because I learned it first in 1935. It has never left me, and I want you all to be blessed by this song and to take it home and to sing in this coming week once again, everybody. Only Jesus, only Jesus, only Jesus, glorious Lord, now without those words. Only Jesus, always Jesus, my heart will praise, my song I'll raise. Save and heal me, sanctify me, glorious Lord, soon coming King. So I say, dear friends, have Jesus. Make Him so precious to you. Not just on Sundays, but every day. Make Him so precious to you, you unconsciously, subconsciously, you sing out. In those days, when Dr. John Sung was here, we sing this along the Leo Ai street, you know. On the streets, in omnibuses. So many people were blessed. Now, all because of the Word of God. Now, I want to share with you, out of this little study, how Paul can be what he was. Paul was never like that in the beginning, understand. Paul was the arch enemy of the gospel. All because he was defending the Jewish religion, Judaism. And he thought that was it. And so he went all around. Everywhere he went, he was like a wild animal, hunting down Christians, putting them into prison or, if possible, to kill them. You want to know the story of that? We hear it from his own mouth. Please turn to Acts chapter 26. Acts 26. Here is Paul in captivity, appearing before Herod Agrippa. And there he was defending himself, telling his testimony. Verse 8 of Acts 26, verse 8. Then we understand how it is that Paul was not depressed in prison. How he continued to witness for the Lord as a prisoner. Can you do that? Are we so strong in the faith? I pray that learning from Paul, we all will develop a strong faith, able to withstand the temptations and the trials that will beset us in the days to come. Remember, our theme for this year is perilous times. We do live in perilous times. And the more often you remind yourself of it, the better it is. Now let's hear from Paul. How he became what he was in the Roman prison. He was never like that. So please understand. Acts chapter 26. Here is his defense before the King Agrippa Herod. What has he got to tell them? Answer is his testimony. Do you have a testimony of how God came to change your life? Listen, verse 8. Here is Paul talking. Why should it be thought a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? I verily thought myself, I ought to do many things contrary against the name of Jesus of Nazareth, because I thought he was crucified, dead and gone. He was fully convinced. And now there are these upstarts called Peter and John and group, bringing in a new religion that now no longer the Jewish Judaism, but Jesus Christ. That's why Paul went about to persecute and to destroy Christians until, read on, verse 10. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, because I thought that Jesus Christ was dead and gone. And who are these people who keep on talking about Jesus risen from the dead? Verse 10, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, and when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. Three cheers, very good, kill all Christians if possible. But you know, God has a higher purpose. Out of the blue, God can save a rebel like Saul in those days. Verse 11, I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities, strange cities outside of Judea. Verse 12, whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests at midday, O King, King Herod, do you understand? Are you following what I'm telling you? I'm telling you from my own personal experience. It's not fiction. It's not made up. It's not a dream, but it is real. What is real? At midday I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, Jesus Christ coming to meet with this arch enemy of Christianity. How wonderful. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen down, being struck by the light, I heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Kicking against the pricks. Very easily illustrated. How are you trying to play football with bare feet, kicking a durian? This is what you're trying to do, Paul. Saul came to his senses. And I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus. You thought I was dead, didn't you? You are persecuting me day and night. Everywhere you go, you persecute the Christians." I said, "Dear friends, if you knew this Jesus as your own Savior, you have nothing to fear. Nothing. But arise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto you for a purpose. Saul, I have something for you. And you are going to be changed to somebody that you never knew you could be. From the enemy of Christianity, you are going to be the champion and hero." Amazing. Who did it? I said, "Dear friends, we really need more full-time workers. It is well known to all of us. But which young person out of school and college, going to university, which of them will say, 'Let me consider whether the Lord can use me for His purpose'? Will anyone? Among all our hundreds and thousands, I don't see any out of Calvary Pandan. I've not seen yet. So few, maybe one or two. In our midst, there are just about two. We need more." I say a word in sincerity to those who are about to retire. Think of what you do when you retire. When you're 62 or 65, you still have another 10 to 15, 20 good working years. Can you not do something for the Lord? You don't wait till you're retired and say, "Oh, you're so tired. What to do? I take long leave, go around the world. I go and explore all the wonderful touristy places, and that is the best thing I can do." I tell you, it's not the best thing you can do. It's the worst thing you can do. If Jesus Christ depends on me, I said, doom is come. How can the gospel go on? Who is going to preach here when your pastors are gone? You say, "Wow, advertise, advertise." You get modernist, liberal, unbelieving pastors. That's all you have. What do you do? Please. Jesus said to Saul, "I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a servant and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee in the future." Now today you're going to see something most wonderful, most strange. You cannot believe it, that on your way to kill Christians in Damascus, the one who you think is dead meets with you and did not zap you and kill you on the spot, which Jesus could well easily have done, easily. But the voice of the Savior says, "Saul, I have work for you. And I'm going to tell you that work is for you and you alone. You can do it because you are the person." May someone here hear the voice. Jesus saying to you, "Why are you thinking of being a PhD and fulfill your own career and ambition and then rejoice, rejoice, now I'm PhD or whatever you are?" I say, "Dear friends, consider. There is something better than the world and careers, ambitions, and things you can accomplish in society. There's something better. Something beyond this earth." Keep on reading now. Verse 17. "To deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send you, I'm meeting with you so that you know your purpose, your life work is to go to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? You and me. We are the Gentiles. Who are the non-Gentiles? The Jews. But the Jews have crucified their Savior. And they reject Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. And they put Him to the death. Now you thought I was dead, right, Saul? No. I say, if you think that Jesus Christ is only fiction, resurrection is only something on paper, I say, dear friends, wake up. May God have mercy on you. We are here because our Savior lives. For without that, without that message and that fact of amazing grace of God, power of God, we are nothing. We have no reason to be here. No gospel, no church, no hope, nothing to look forward to. Just zero. Zero. I say, let's disband Calvary Pandan. Close down. Tutup. No use. Go and find your own thing. Join the societies outside and prosper, please, prosper. And get more of the world, more of the world. And the end of it is death and nothing else, nothing else. Think of the millionaires and the billionaires. When it comes for the time for them to depart this earth, what can they take with them? Nothing. So I say, consider. Read on. Verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. May God release some of you from the power of Satan. Some are being gripped by the need to compete for the things of the world and to get a better slice of the cake for yourself and your family and your future. And thinking, that is it? I say, no, that is not it. You've missed the whole point. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain, is what we want to all aim at today. To make Jesus Christ real in your life. Lord of your life. King of your life. Coming King of Kings. Lord of Lords. Every sign says so. Do you believe it? I say, if you really believe it, there will be a great movement of the Spirit. And many young people say, here is my life, Lord, take it. I'm coming. I'm responding. I will be your servant, like Saul became Paul. Alright, verse 18, the last part. Release from the power of Satan unto God, and they... that they may receive for forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So says the Lord Jesus. I say, may Jesus the Lord speak to you now through these words. Yes, it's not me. These are the words of Jesus. And He says, all you need today, most urgently, is to be released from the power of Satan. You say, how can Satan's power come to me? I say, you never know. What did Jesus say to Peter? Do you remember? When Peter says, no, Lord, you cannot go to Jerusalem and to die. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. He was already talking the talk of Satan. You cannot die, Jesus. If you die, what will happen to us? The secret of the whole gospel is Christ died for us. Because had He not died, there would not be all those who spring up because of His death. Like a corn of wheat must die. Then the thousands and millions of other wheat grains will grow up. Christ must die. So here He is. To open the eyes, I read verse 18 once more. This is the purpose of Jesus speaking to Saul. To turn the eyes from darkness to light. from the power of Satan unto God. Let not the God of this world, Satan, blind your eyes. And so that you think, oh, I must get a bigger slice of the cake. A bigger share of society. Today, you read yesterday's newspaper, Straits Times. Singapore has over 100 and something like 160 or 70 billion dollars when Singapore became independent from Britain, from England. We had almost nothing. Almost nothing. Today we are so rich. One of the richest countries in the world is Singapore. Do you know that? Now you hear that, wow, I must get a bigger slice of the cake. I mustn't be left behind. I must struggle harder and get more of the world, more of the world, more of the world, until you get swamped and sunk and drowned in the wealth of the world. You know, to get wealth is not difficult. Not difficult at all. Go outside, you get it. Very easy. But to let go of wealth, like Paul says, for to me to live is Christ. Nothing else matters. To die is gain. For it is more profitable for me to die. Why should I live? My time is up. I've done enough. But God has a purpose and a plan. So, verse 19 in conclusion. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. You see me here, a Jew, before you. Agrippa is not a Jew. He's a half-caste. And he has control. He's the king. And here is the prisoner under his power. Until he appealed to Caesar, and Agrippa says, well, you appeal to Caesar. To Caesar you will go. You go to Rome out of my jurisdiction. So there was Paul. I said, dear friends, how shall we conclude this morning's message? For to me to live is Christ. To die is gain. And he says, you know, when Jesus met with me, my whole value system in life changed upside down. For while things were gained to me, those after that I counted loss for Christ. At one time I was a socialite. I was a Jew among the Jews, the most looked up to gentleman in Jerusalem. Everybody knew I was such and such, with so much potential. Now today I got all those things are rubbish. All rubbish. Only one thing matters. Only Jesus. Always Jesus.